Shed Some Light, episode 252, coming to you, not on a Tuesday, but
252
on a Thursday. Short episode today. Michael and Jack are back. We're going to be talking mainly about Notre Dame's bowl game tomorrow. But before we get into that, I came across this hypothetical today, and I feel like there's just an extremely clear answer, but there was a very long debate going on about it, and I want to get your take on this.
Okay.
Would you rather just be given $1 million, mm-hmm. or you have to play 18 holes at Augusta, you have 8 hours to complete said 18 holes, and you have unlimited mulligans on every single shot that you take? Mm-hmm. It's not just a mulligan off the tee box. You have to finish 8 under par, and you get $10 million for doing that.
Okay, so I think it depends on what stipulations I'm allowed to create at Augusta.
What do you mean?
Like,
you're just going there and playing.
No. So if I get unlimited mulligans, A, do I have a cart?
No, you're walking. It's Augusta.
Okay, well, then, yeah, I'm probably taking the million. And then B, my other stipulation was, like, can I just have, like, a ball guy that just is, like I want him to carry a golf bag full of golf balls. And then, like, every time I fuck up, just be like, feed me. Like, give me another one.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm for sure taking the golf.
Really?
Yeah, without a doubt.
See, that's the thing. I'm not that good at golf.
I'm not either. But the you walking, have unlimited mulligans.
You but also 8 hours.
That's a full work day to play 18 holes.
The walking is what would kill me. If you gave me a cart, I'd take golf.
I just, like, with unlimited mulligans, I don't think that 8 under par is that unachievable. It might take me, like, 3 to 4 shots per, like, actual shot that is recorded.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you are also, like, first of all, fuck off. Because you always sell yourself short on how good you are at golf. Like, for like, the average person that doesn't play golf as often as you, it's going to take them, like, 10 shots per hit.
Even so.
That's the thing. Like, if I can get a guy that's just feeding me golf balls,
I'm taking the $10 million. Or the chance at $10 million. And if not, then you just get to play Augusta.
I'll get the $1 million. Bet it all on a guy to win the Masters. Win that. Get $10 million. Buy my way into Augusta.
No.
Boom. I don't know. I'm not good at golf.
I don't think that the people were good at golf that were posing this debate either.
Were they? Well, what side were they on?
They were split, 50-50.
I'd listen to it. Also, like, am I the only person at Augusta? Like, I don't have to wait for people. Nobody's coming up behind me. It's just me.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, then I'll probably take Augusta.
That's what I'm doing.
Do I get a caddy? Can I, like, sprint to my next fucking
that by myself? I don't know. They didn't go into all of these.
See, these are the things that I need to play into consideration here. Because if I can just not worry about my bag and just haul ass, I think I'm good. And then I need a caddy to carry my actual bag and a ball guy to just feed me balls.
The ball guy.
I need, like, a full team.
Yeah.
Basically.
Pit crew and everything.
Yeah. Because then, like, somebody's got to pick up my balls from the previous hole so that I know, like, hey, here's the one.
See, I don't even think that I would be picking up golf balls.
I would just
spray and shoot until I got the shot that I wanted.
Yeah, but that's the thing. This is why you need a ball guy. Because if you don't pick him up, you're not going to have any balls left. If you're going 3 shots per, like, actual shot,
at least,
that's like 12 balls a hole. How many balls do you think you can fit in your bag?
I might have to bring a second bag just of golf balls.
Okay, but see, now if you don't get the caddy, Now you're carrying around two. You're exhausted. Your swing goes. This is something you need to think about.
I'm playing golf.
I'm playing golf with a full team. Pit crew, F1 style.
All right, moving on to a quick bowl game preview here. Tony the Tiger. Is it like the Sun Belt Bowl or Sun Bowl? Tony the Tiger Bowl?
Yeah, the Frosted Flakes Bowl.
Frosted Flakes Bowl, Notre Dame, Oregon State. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can have Oregon State and Oklahoma State be two OSUs that are black, orange, and white seems illegal.
Shouldn't be allowed.
I'm just saying Notre Dame is playing OSU because I can't keep the two straight.
I keep thinking that we're playing Oklahoma State because we played them
recently,
like two or three years ago.
Yeah. Oregon State.
We put them last year. I just said two or three years ago. We put them last year.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. We played Oklahoma State two years ago.
Yeah, because last year we played South Carolina, Spencer Rattler.
Suck it, Spencer. Go Irish.
Yeah, as we've talked about previously, pretty much like the Transfer Bowl, a.k.a. a glorified blue and gold game.
I saw the spread was -6.5. Oregon State just like, I know they're missing a ton of people, but are they like that bad?
So,
I mean, I know they're, like I said, I don't want to say like they're that bad. I know they're missing both of their top two quarterbacks. I'm pretty sure like they're starting wide receiver, running back, and tight end.
Yeah, I don't know too much about their offense. Their defense is pretty good.
Are a lot of them playing?
The whole front five to potentially seven, yes.
Okay, so see, that's what I was going to kind of get into, is like we would do as well as our offensive line plays.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that's going to be like, no duh, but like if their cohesion is good and they like have figured out how to like communicate with each other, talk, pick up blocks, stuff like that, I think everybody that's going to start this game is extremely, extremely talented. I just don't know if it's like the cohesion enough to be like, you can have all the talent in the world, but when you're actually like going against like people who know what they're doing, it's a whole different ballgame, you know?
Oregon State's defense is very aggressive.
Okay.
So that's either going to be great or terrible. Terrible in the sense that if Notre Dame turns the ball over and gives them short fields, this game could be pretty ugly to watch.
But I also think that, like, I mean, I kind of hinted at it, but their whole offense is pretty much gone, no?
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter if their defense is aggressive enough to give them the ball like at the 30-yard line multiple times.
I think that you can say the same thing about Notre Dame. Like, our defense is aggressive and good enough that if we're playing a bunch of backups too, then we can do the exact same thing.
True, true. But offensively, I don't think that they have a whole bunch of firepower left. Where on the Notre Dame side of things, granted, there are question marks, but I think they're pretty good question marks to have.
Yeah. Is there anybody that you are, like, most excited to see play that, like, maybe hasn't gotten a lot of time during the year?
I just found this out today. I don't know how it kind of flew under the radar, but K.K. Smith, freshman wide receiver.
Okay. You think he's, like, the real deal?
I don't know if I think that he's the real deal. I think that he has a very high ceiling, and I just kind of want to see, like, these will be his first college snaps.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can explain this to me. Has Deion Colsey been hurt all year?
Yeah.
Okay. When did he get hurt?
No idea.
How did he get hurt?
Couldn't tell you.
Kind of just forgot he was on the team
for a while. Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, saw like a clip of him. I was like, oh shit, he's still on the team?
Yeah. Deion, both Jadens are back. And, I mean, the wide receiver position is going to be pretty fun. Deion Colsey, Jaden Thomas, Jaden Greathouse, KK, Jordan Faison.
I know he's played all year, but I am the most excited to see Jordan Faison continue to play.
Yeah.
From everything that I've seen, he's been like torching corners in practice. Like, I'm just Will Fuller in him. Like, dude, just fucking run, dude.
Right.
Like, we'll get you there.
another thing that flew under the radar that I guess I really didn't realize until today, Riley Leonard is an undergrad transfer.
So he technically could be there for two?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's pretty interesting.
I had no idea.
Neither did I.
I thought we got him for a year. I thought he was a grad transfer.
Me too.
He's qualified as an undergrad transfer. How you doing?
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
I don't either, but it's just a thing.
So then here's my next question to you. Say Steve Angeli balls out.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does he transfer?
Yep.
And I think it would be a smart move for him.
Especially if he balls out. I mean, you're just...
That's what I'm saying. I think the better he plays, the more likely it is for him to transfer.
Yeah. You gotta sell yourself high.
But, like, I also, like, even if he, like, fucking balls out, like, Washington State, I think, is, like, the best he could get to. Like, I don't think he's going to, like, a quote-unquote, like, premier program.
No.
Like, he'll go to, like a Maryland or something like that.
Yeah, Maryland probably wouldn't be bad. He's from the East Coast. I was thinking Rutgers because he's from Jersey, but their football team stinks.
He'll go to some, like, fucking Big Ten school for sure. Who would transfer, like, fucking IU?
I could see him have, like, one of those, like, Trace McSorley Penn State years where just, like, he captures lightning in a bottle.
Oh, but you don't mean he goes to Penn State.
No.
I was like, dude, what the fucking no shot.
No. I'm saying, like just kind of comes out of nowhere, and then people are like, holy cow, like, that's a pretty legit quarterback.
I could see him transferring to, like, a Northwestern or something like that, and then, like, the first three games of the year when they play, like, Rutgers and, you know, Northeast Ohio or something, like balling out and everybody being like, dude, is he the fucking real deal?
Yeah.
And then they play, like, you know, Ohio State and they get shit stomped and everyone's like, oh, that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, again, not hating on the kid.
Oh, no, I love a little peanut butter and jelly.
I think that Friday he's going to have a great game.
Me too. I'm all about him. Here's another question for you. Say he doesn't. Say he starts off pretty bad. What's your leash? Because at some point, I'm saying, fuck it, let's see what Kenny Minchie can do.
A quarter and a half or a 10-point deficit.
Okay, I was going to say 14. I was going to say, yeah, I was going to go around 10 to 14. Just say, cause, like,
whichever
at this
one
point,
comes first.
Yeah. Because, like, at this point, he's already technically played in four games, right, Kenny Minchie? I believe he's logged minutes in four games. So I don't think you can count this as a redshirt year.
We gotta go back and check because the NCAA changed their rules of whether or not a bowl game counts towards your eligibility. Because for a while it did, and then they changed it that it didn't.
So maybe he's only played in career stats.
I was gonna say I don't think he's gotten in four games.
Two for two.
Yeah, keep him perfect.
Yeah, he's only, I think, like I said, I think he's been in, like, he knelt down at, like, one game.
Tennessee State?
No, because he actually, like, recorded. There was, like, two games that literally he just came in at the end and, like, just kneeled down.
That's good practice.
Fucking sure. Get some snaps under you.
Yeah, so like I said, I don't remember if bowl games count towards your eligibility. But yeah, quarter and a half or a 10-point deficit is the leash if Angeli is not playing well, in my opinion. Are we doing a fact check on the eligibility terms?
No, I was going with how many
games.
Oh,
we're still back on Kenny?
Yeah. I don't know. Fuck it.
Hopefully we don't have to get to that point. Hopefully Kenny comes in because Angeli balled out and we're up by 24 at the half.
That would be sick. Bowl games do not count.
See? Boom. Let everyone play.
Fuck it. Let it ride.
That's pretty much all I got, though. That's my preview.
Defensive-wise, anybody... I mean, there's not a lot of people that aren't playing. It's basically like Cam Watt and Thomas Harper that are like massive, massive names.
Cam Hart?
That's what I said.
You said Cam Watt.
I thought I said Cam Hart and Thomas Harper.
You definitely said Cam Watt.
Well, meant Cam Hart. Marist.
Yeah. Cam Watt's a pretty good name, though.
I'm pretty sure I knew a Cam Watt.
Really?
Yeah. I definitely knew a Cam Watt.
Yeah, defensively, I don't think that there's... I mean, there's not too much that really worries me.
There are a couple people that I would like to see play.
Okay. Jalen Sneed.
Yeah, so he was like my number one in terms of, like, the clock's ticking.
Yeah.
My number one in terms of, like, who I would like to see on the field is Drake Bowen.
Yes.
And then my number two is Junior, Tui Halamaka.
Okay.
Basically all linebackers. And then one that's like toss in there, what's his name? Bobakar Traore.
Yep.
I would like to see him. Yeah. Just to toss it in there.
Again, this game is really just kind of a live minutes preview to see what you have for next year.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I mean, not that they're, like, surprises, but in terms of, like, anybody that's not on the D-line or middle linebacker, like, Christian Gray had a sick interception earlier in the year. Jaden Mickey is still somebody that I think is, like, going to be a stud. He's the one, though, that, like, with you're gonna win games because of Jaden Mickey, you're going to lose games because of Jaden Mickey.
And that, like, and the thing that I love about him is that neither of those scenarios, I think, are going to shake his confidence.
He doesn't give a fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's coming in there being like, I'm going to jump this route, and either they're going to throw it, and I'm pick six in this bad boy, or, like, I'm going to jump this route, they're going to pump fake, and it's going to go for, like, a 70-yard touchdown, mm-hmm. and I don't give a fuck what happens on either one of these.
Such a, like, I would die to have that man mentality.
Love to just be like, fuck it, get him next time. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
No shot. I guess I would always go with, like, prevent the big play.
Right.
Whereas, but then, like, you're never going, like, to make the big play. Yeah, exactly. He's like, dude, I'll fucking make the big play every time.
Right.
Not going to, but... speaking of Notre Dame football, is there any chance that they get that cornerback that reclassified, Kevin Humes or something his name was? You see this?
Mm-mm.
There's a kid that reclassified from the class of 2025 to 2024, like a four-star corner. I want to say his name was Humes, maybe?
They're making a big push on that Cal wide receiver right now.
Kevin Kerm Humes. He put us in his top five.
Oh. Wait, let me see his graphic. Oh, no. I mean, like, did he put out, like, the top five with the teams?
I don't know.
I'm not 100%. I'm not too familiar with that.
Right here.
Oh, interesting.
So, Kerm.
Like Kermit the Frog?
I guess. So, reclassified to 2024. But I do not know when he is set to make a decision. Oh, he went to the St. Francis Academy. That's the Price of Winning documentary team.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Love that.
Okay.
Love that.
Yeah, no, I've been looking at Jeremiah Hunter, the Cal wide receiver.
Yeah. Riley Leonard followed him on Instagram, people forget.
Yeah, we did talk about that. I'm just scrolling through the collegefootballnetwork.com article released 5 days ago that doesn't even have Notre Dame as a top five destination for him.
For Jeremiah Hunter?
Yep.
Fuck them. Where do they? Who do they have?
They have number one as Baylor, followed by Fresno State, UCLA, Missouri, and Washington. Fresno State, that's a pretty forgotten program.
Good for them. Pretty sure they beat Purdue to start the year this year.
Really?
Yeah, I think Purdue paid them like $1.2 million, and Fresno State just gave them the old...
The business.
Give them the business. The old 1-2 skip to my Lou, you know?
All right. One final thing Notre Dame-wise. Officially hired Mike Mickens. Sure, Mike
speak
Denrock.
Into existence, baby.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I feel like I've been pretty good speaking things into existence.
All right, let's speak the Al Golden, Mike Mickens, and Thielen McCullough extensions right into existence.
They will be spoken.
Eventually.
Mike Denbrock, though.
Yeah.
Welcome
officially
back.
Officially announced. Do you know how much we're paying him?
A lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a lot of money, but like...
No, I don't know numbers. I haven't seen those yet. I'll do some digging.
I mean, listen, I love it. It comes to the point of where, like, I think what Marcus Freeman is doing is extremely smart in the sense of, like, hey, I'm just going to surround myself with a bunch of, like, veteran guys who, like, are proven to know what they're doing, to right. understand the game, to know how to run it, like, to go with a scheme that I like rather than being, like, I feel like this year he kind of tried out the, hey, I'm going to go with like a younger up-and-coming dude who's like, you know, we're going to ride it together. And I was like, ah, that didn't fucking work.
He also, like, you can clearly tell that he has the support and backing of the administration now.
Yeah. Well, so that was the one thing that I was, and I know there's more that goes into this, but like the whole like Father Jenkins thing, like stepping down, stuff like that. Like part of me was like, I wonder if that has anything to do with, like, I don't want to deal with this fucking bullshit NIL paying people to come here type of thing. Like, I'm just going to, you know, peace out. Same thing with Swarbrick where he's like, fuck it, I don't want to do this shit anymore. Like, I'm just going to dip out. Done my due diligence. And I think that, like, I kind of wonder if the new regime that is coming in is much more like, we'll play ball.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
We understand that, like, this is the way that it is now. Like, we got to adapt and kind of, like, move forward. Because, like, I feel like it's been, especially if Golden gets a contract extension.
Right.
If Golden gets a contract extension, then it is showing, like, it is very, very clear that, like,
we're here to play.
Yeah. Him and the administration are very much on the same page of, like, hey, like, we are never going to be a top contending team unless we spend the money to do so. And they are much more like, yeah, fuck it, we'll do it.
Agreed. And it's really good to see.
Yeah, love to see it. Love to see it. But I love Denbrock. I hope he can... I mean, I think I don't have any reason to think he can't recruit. But I hope that, you know, just the name and the signing of him brings in a couple more like offensive guys that are like, oh, shit, yeah, it's a big name. Like, we'll go. So, I love it. Bring it on, baby.
All positives.
Best OC in the country, according to LSU. Not my words.
Yeah.
Not my words.
Right. Coming
other
from...
other people's words.
Right.
People are saying. And this time it's not just me.
Other people are actually saying.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I do want to talk a little Bears.
Ooh.
As much as I like seeing them win, we're kind of like in our own hell right now. Because, like, you're pretty much guaranteed the first pick
right.
at this point. I think if, like, the Saints beat somebody this weekend, we're guaranteed the first pick. But then we also have, like, the eighth pick, like, our own pick,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, you're too far down to get one of the two guys. It's Joe Alton, whatever the tackle is from Penn State, who are, like, those two are, I think, are both like home run, like you can't miss, like Quentin Nelson, like I yeah. know these dudes are going to be good.
Right.
And then everybody else is kind of like.
Joe Alt's going to go higher than eight?
Yeah. So in all the mock drafts I'm seeing, they have both of them going like back to back. like 6 and 7 or 5 and 6.
Ooh.
They have them going to the Giants and the Titans. And right now they're both picking like 2 spots ahead of us.
Okay.
So like I think you obviously need to take an offensive lineman. Those two are the only two that I am like supremely confident that they will be good.
Yep.
The rest I'm like, yeah, you'll probably be solid, but like I don't have as much confidence. And then I really hope you don't get rid of Justin Fields for Caleb Williams or Drake May. I think my hot take of this entire thing is that Caleb Williams and Drake May aren't the 2 best quarterbacks in this draft.
Who are you taking?
Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix.
I would do Jaden Daniels.
I'll take fucking Michael Penix, too. Sling that rock, baby.
Yeah, no, I hope that the Bears don't get rid of Justin Fields, although I did see a take today that was trade Justin Fields and then draft Marvin Harrison Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and pay Jim Harbaugh. Yeah,
I did see that. I just don't like J.J. McCarthy. I think I might hate J.J. McCarthy more than I hate Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, I thought you were about to say Caleb Williams. I was going to say no God, shot. No,
absolutely fucking not. J.J. McCarthy just looks like the kid that has gotten like everything handed to him.
Well,
and I just like, he's got a very punchable face.
Funny story, and maybe this will change your perspective on it if you don't know this, but you know, it came down to him and Tyler Buchner, and the previous coaching staff decided to pursue Tyler Buchner.
Hate him even more.
Why?
I don't know. Fuck him.
He could have came to Notre Dame.
Okay, but this is another thing where, like, and this is, I guess, the whole, like, Justin Fields debate, right? Where, like, I think right now you could put most quarterbacks on Michigan's team and they'd still go 12-0. Like, I don't think that J.J. McCarthy has done anything this season where I've been like, holy shit, dude, that guy... He's got great arm, or like, wow, like, look at that. Like,
yeah. It's he just hasn't like, done anything that has cost them a game.
Like, you're just like, yeah, dude, like, they got a great fucking offensive line. They're insanely talented at the running back position, so that makes it a lot easier on the passing game. Like, he is not making a play where, like, if you put him on the Bears right now, say you draft Marvin Harrison and him, right, and you don't fix the offensive line at all, we're 15 times more fucked than we are right now.
Agreed.
So, like, it seems like you're just slapping a Band-Aid on, like, the leak of a dam, and you're like, hey, we're not actually, like, fixing anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's the thing that I've said for the past 2 years. It's like, Justin Fields is not the issue. So your quarterback is not the issue.
So going back to the origin of this story, how do the Bears jump up 3 draft spots from, like, 8 to 5?
Well, so this is why you're in your own hell, because I don't want them to lose. Like, there's the flip side of this is they have a legitimate shot to make the playoffs.
But why would we want that if they don't have a chance of winning anything?
You never know. Catch lightning in a bottle, you know what I'm saying?
The old Trace McSorley.
Yeah, fuck it. So, like, if I'm the Bears GM, I ride it out with whatever happens. The rest of this year, I draft Marvin Harrison 1.
Yes.
Depending on where we fall, like, if we fall, say it ends up like we are right now, we're at 8. There's 2 teams ahead of us that I know are going to draft O linemen. I'm trading up like 1 or 2 and giving them like a 2nd round pick or like a 3rd round pick. And just being like, yeah, fuck it, dude. Like, I don't really care. Like, probably not going to be anything too crazy. Just give me my guy. Like, give me, like so you said, like, give so me Joe Wall or give me the kid from Penn State.
You're trading 8 and a 2nd rounder.
Yeah. Or 8 and like a 3rd for the 5th or 6th pick.
I like that.
And then just being like, yeah, fuck it. I don't really care. Like, and then what I'm doing the rest of the draft is I'm drafting a majority. Well, I probably take a running back somewhere in there. If you can fucking get Audric Estime in the second round, I will cream my slacks.
There's no way he falls that far.
But I'm telling you, I'll fucking cream my slacks. If they can fall to the second round, if our top three draft picks are Marvin Harrison, Joe Alt, or the kid from Penn State, and Audric Estime, I'm buying a ticket to the Super Bowl next year because the fucking Bears are going to be in it. So it's okay. Like, I'm fucking bricked up beyond belief if those are our top three draft picks. I'm probably taking a running back in the second or third, depending on who's there. And then I'm probably going to be the rest of my drafts is going to be heavy defense.
Okay.
Not that I think that they need it, but I think when you draft an O lineman like late in like anywhere past like the first or second round, it's like a giant question mark, and I'd rather sign somebody that I know is like proven to be good than be like, I'll take a flyer on this dude.
Agreed. It's more of a hope than an actual.
Whereas like I feel like a D lineman is like, yeah, like I'll take a flyer on a D lineman.
Yeah.
But like, because if a D lineman fucks up, it's not like you're also like, I feel like an O lineman fucks up, you're not only did he fuck up, but you're also like costing the quarterback.
Right. Right.
So it's like, if a D lineman fucks up, like I don't really care as much per se. So like I'm taking a bunch of D linemen just to be like, yeah, like I'll take some flyers, like, and then also re-sign Jalen Johnson in the offseason.
And that would lead to Bears success.
Super Bowl, Super Bears, 2024. Fuck it. I guess 2025 at that point.
Okay. If the Bears' top three picks end up being Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Alt...
You're not let back in. I'm not letting you back in.
And Audric Estime.
I'm not letting you back in. I'm actually kicking you off even more if those are the top three. Like, right now is you're deciding, like, you're either in or you're out.
Well, that's what I just said. If they draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and Joe Alt and Audric Estime...
No. Like, you have to decide right now if you're in or you're out on the Bears.
No, I don't.
As it stands. I'm not letting you teeter on this.
I don't have to make that decision.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
I'm putting it up there.
Nope.
You're a bitch. You know that?
Well, folks, Dutton's trying to get back inside, so that is where we are wrapping up Shed Some Light episode 252. Thank you all for listening. Hope everyone had a good Christmas and a very safe and happy New Year. We'll be back sometime next year. We'll talk to y'all next year. Glad. Amen. I got to get that one in there.
Shut up.
In the meantime,
keep them cold.
Keep them cold, everyone.